Hello and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Good to be here. Good to see you, Tim.
Yep, good to see you. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Metro Richmond's thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. Conversation is lively and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are thrilled to have Hillary Wilder with us. Welcome, Hillary.
Hi, nice to be here.
You look very relaxed, which is wonderful for someone who has a resume that sort of includes things like the Guggenheim Fellowship, a grant from the Pollack Krasner Foundation, and the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts Professional Fellowship. You've also had solo exhibitions at venues that include the Suburban in Oak Park, Illinois, Open Satellite in Seattle, the Atlanta Contemporary Art Museum, and the Devin Borden Gallery in Houston, and in group exhibitions throughout the U.S. Your videos have also been screened at festivals at the University of Southern California, the Pacific Film Archive, and the Chicago International Film Festival, among others. So, looking very relaxed and getting ready to take a year off, what are you going to do, Hillary?
Well, thank you for that lovely introduction. Yeah, actually, I have been very fortunate to have been awarded a research reassignment from the VCU School of the Arts.
That sounds like a punishment.
It is not a punishment. It's the exact opposite of a punishment,
right, exactly.
And I'm thrilled. Again, it's a really generous thing that the School of the Arts is allowing me to do, and I'm going to take the year to participate in the Galveston Artist Residency in Galveston, Texas.
Wow.
So I'll be down on the Texas Gulf Coast for 11 months making work down there.
Down there in what hurricane land?
Pretty much, yeah. I'll be moving there right about the peak of hurricane season, but
I've got my
fingers crossed. Well, the Galveston Artist Residency is a new program. I think they're just finishing up their third year, and they do year-long artist residencies, and the studios
really?
Are beautiful, and the apartments are beautiful, and
nice.
The people are nice.
What's it connected with?
Nothing, actually. It's
That's an independent program.
It's an independent program. My understanding is that the founder, Eric Schnell, was very proactive about making relationships with benefactors in the area,
mm-hmm.
and they have an endowment that will support them for at least 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful thing.
So you get to get up every morning and go into a beautiful studio. Are they providing you everything you need, or...?
Pretty much.
Really?
I mean, yeah, as far as a place to live and a place to work, I mean, I've got to schlep all my supplies
down there,
but that's no big deal. So,
fabulous.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
So, do you have any plans as to what you're going to do?
Well, as far as making my own work is concerned, a lot of what I do is responsive to different locations.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked years ago in the same context when I just come back from Iceland.
Oh, right.
And so I made a body of work that was about Iceland, and then I was lucky enough to travel to Ireland, and I made work about that. And I have some projects coming up that are more about the location that I grew up in northern New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking about this trip to Texas being an opportunity to sort of plug into that location in terms of its own aesthetics and its own cultural history. And I've lived in Texas before. I lived in Houston for 5 years, so I'm not a stranger to it, but I want to spend more time like really thinking about like the arts and crafts traditions in that part of the country.
Yeah, because Galveston's basically an oil town, right?
It sure is.
Yeah.
But it's coastal.
I mean,
isn't it on the water?
Yeah, actually, Galveston is an island.
Yeah, it's an island. Exactly.
Yep, so you got to cross the bridge to even get onto Galveston. And it has its own complicated history because of the hurricanes. But it was a really affluent and popular resort city for a long, long time until the big hurricane in 1900. So.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Well, this before
Hugh
your
does.
Time?
Yeah.
I don't recall that one either. But
okay, so the thing that we have not touched on yet is your medium.
My medium.
Your medium.
My media.
Or your mediums.
I'm a multimedia.
You're multimedia.
Kind of gal.
Yeah.
As,
I don't want to.
As I think a lot of people are these days. Mostly I'm a painter and I teach painting. And I think about all the things I do through the lens of painting. And I make small paintings, and I also make like giant, like installed environmental paintings, you know, that are actually like in a certain space and painted on the walls. Mm-hmm. But more recently, I've been making small sculpture, in particular paper sculptures, some of which will be shown in Massachusetts this fall.
Really?
At the De Cordova Museum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you mentioned at the beginning, I've also shown video quite a bit. So paintings.
When you said
main,
through the lens of painting.
Yeah.
Just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
What
do I
interesting.
Mean by
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
Well, you know, I think even when I make sculpture, I usually talk about it in terms of object making, because I think a lot of contemporary sculpture is about, or it seems to be about materials and about syntax, how things are put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think about my practice that way. A lot of the objects I make are painted objects. So for instance, the paper sculptures are typically things that have been finished a certain way. They're actually like paintings, essentially, right, on paper. They get folded. So I think of them as paintings first, and then they just
take on three
dimensions.
So we're not talking about, and this, you know, but we're not talking about origami.
No,
kind of. I mean,
no.
Because when you start talking
glad
about
you asked
paper
that
because sculpture, because I'm like going, okay,
there are no swans.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So. Very interesting. Now, do you have a website, and do you have your work out for the public to see, or is it mainly going into museums?
I do have a website. It's hillarywilder.com, and Hillary with one L. Yeah, and I have things in collections in different places as well. But everything's visible online.
Who represents you?
My primary representation is Devin Borden Gallery in Texas, in Houston.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm still.
Well, that makes sense why she's going back
to Galveston.
To Galveston. And so once you're down there, are you going to be painting? Are you going to be sculpting, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both, I think. I have to finish up a few pieces that are going to the show that I mentioned in Massachusetts. And then once that's done, I'll probably mostly be painting. At the end of my year in Texas, I'll be in an exhibition at the residency program, which has this huge, beautiful gallery space. So
really?
it'll be a group show with the two other residents, but it's such a large space that I'll be able to make almost like my own show within
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And then concurrently, I'll have a solo show at my gallery in Houston. So I'm thinking about using the year to mostly make sculpture and installation at the residency for that show. But then the paintings I'll make during that time will go to the commercial gallery in Houston. And that's sort of conceptually how I'm splitting them up in my mind.
That is very interesting. Switching gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you teach last semester?
I sure did.
How were the kids?
They were pretty good.
What are you thinking of the product coming along through the system?
I think it's terrific. You know,
So you think the world's not coming to an end and, you know, everything's going to be okay because the kids that are coming through the system now are pretty sharp?
I think so. I mean, it's a mixed bag, as it would be at any institution. I think as far as teaching art, I've taught at a lot of different schools, and I've never had students of the caliber that we have at VCU. I think that they're smart and they're eager and they're curious about things. There are, of course, going to be some students that achieve less than others, but again, that's just the name of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, VCU is, you know, ranked pretty high.
Yeah,
you know,
and rightly so.
Top five, depending on how you do it,
yep.
Number one in some areas, so it's very exciting. But I'm always kind of curious, you know, when you're working with the students, what you're seeing and if there's any interesting trends in the flock that you've been watching come through the university lately?
I think it's a really interesting time to be somebody who's teaching art, because right now the students are so informed by what's happening in digital media in a way that I don't think I'm that old. I'm 40, but it's just not the way I grew up. A lot of these things have sort of, you know, come into our everyday natural existence like since I left college. So they're making a lot of work that's about communication, that's about like visual systems, that's about impermanence, you know, so a lot of them are thinking about using digital media to talk about those transitions and sort of like the flickering nature of all these things in our lives all the time. And I think that's fascinating.
Are they using computer imagery? Are they using How are they doing it?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're using like just straight digital media to reference that, like as a whole, like kind of philosophy of image making. But a lot of them are using traditional media to talk about the digital. And that's what I kind of find.
Yeah, talk about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, like for instance.
Like using painting to talk about.
Yeah, because I think that they also have a lot of them have a little bit of a conflict around that, you know, knowing that they're so, you know, kind of. They're so plugged into everything, but at the same time sort of wanting the human touch. So a lot of them, like I had one student who was making digital prints, but then embroidering into them, you know, taking this very handcraft traditional way of making and literally embedding it into the digital.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either, but it's really fun to watch.
One of the metaphors, and this, I may be way off on this, but it seemed like kids for a while were really into games and gaming and doing that kind of thing and Facebook and, you know, all that stuff.
Now they still are.
Yeah, I know. But now it seems like the larger population of Facebookers are people in their 40s and 50s or whatever. You go past a college fraternity now and chances are you know, pretty good. The kids, some of the kids are going to be outside playing cornhole.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is that beanbag game that harkens back to like the 50s.
I was going to say, that seems like a very 50s frat.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a clown face on it and you'd throw a beanbag at it. I can remember the way beanbags felt when I was that age. And I thought, you know, this must have something to do with the isolation that comes with social media. That, you know, they still sort of almost need this thing in between them, you know, this cornhole thing in between them.
You know, I've got a couple young kids.
Maybe I'm making more out of this than there is, but I was really shocked when I saw that generation, especially playing a game. It was like beanbag.
They really
beanbag toss. Hello,
things.
Beanbag toss. Well, they, 1947.
The other thing they like is horseshoes.
Really?
And, you know, I've got a 21-year-old, 18-year-old, so they're always out doing their doing their thing. But, you know, being connected digitally and electronically, they're much closer than we were with all their friends. The kids who went to high school with, they're still connected with. And they do use that connectivity on Instagram and texting and things. So they're very connected. But then they will go get FaceTime with each other, and like we used to do, you know, back in the 70s playing horseshoes or whatever. So those it is an interesting dynamic with this group coming along. Not only are they using, you know, digital online, you know, electronic media, but they go back to old world things like cornhole and horseshoes and painting.
Well, that's just
and playing pianos.
I mean, every time somebody says painting is dead.
Precisely.
Right?
That's what I was going to say.
And painting is not dead.
Yeah, we've already proven that over and over again that it's not. But it's interesting seeing like people coming up now who are 18, 19, 20, and they really love that touch. You know, they love the analog. They love the feeling of things. They like craftsmanship.
Or to play a real piano versus an electronic piano.
Yeah.
You know, like my son likes to, really? I mean, I got him electronic piano. He likes to play on a regular piano. You know, it is very, very interesting.
So how does it, you were starting to talk about how it was influencing their art making in terms of, you know, someone doing a digital print and then sewing on it or.
And then, you know, somebody else, for instance, you know, a lot of there have been a number of students who have made work about texting, you know, but somebody
because
that's such a big part of their lives.
Sure.
I mean, like I get a few texts a day here and there. I mean, they get hundreds, some of them, you know, they're sort of tied into their friends all the time. But so I've seen a number of paintings about texting, but they take on different forms. You know, somebody who makes a painting that's of a text, but it's very handcrafted and almost a little bit sloppy. I think that's a really interesting combination of different aesthetics. So they're finding different ways of doing it.
Took me a while to figure out when my son would call me up and say, so what are you doing? And I was like, I'm at work. Why? That's not what he meant. What he meant was what you were just talking about is they are so much in touch with each other all the time. They're asking sort of literally a penny for your thoughts.
Right.
Like, what are you doing right now in your head?
Well, and it is constantly connected. I want to switch it, just to have an answer. But it is interesting to see the old and the new connect. And one of the artists that we interviewed that was making, she was using the ink and doing it in a pan and putting the milk and letting
Heidi,
and then taking one picture, and that becomes the painting. You know, and then everything, you know, it's a one of a kind. You get this beautiful print the disc, and that's it. It's one. And it was very interesting to see someone make a painting basically in a pan.
So what is painting?
And take a picture of it, and then that is the painting, and just throw everything in the pan away.
I think that that's a perfectly acceptable practice. Sure, why not? Yeah.
And these things were very amazing. I was looking at them on the website. So here's my question. I love talking to, you know, professors. What's the most interesting thing you saw a student do without divulging, you know, personal information about work? What's the most interesting thing you saw this year out of your students?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I mean, we have so many interesting students, and I work with the grad students as well. You know, so
Interesting project, you know, something that they did that would be, you know, we're always looking, you know, I'm in the gallery business, have a small gallery in Ashland. So we're always looking for things when you come in, you just are like, you know, shock and awe.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of projects come to mind. We had one grad student this past year. They were all very strong. But in terms of like somebody having his own vision, there was, you know, one grad student who was working a lot with painting and quilting and sort of using non-traditional supports for painting and developing his own language of different characters. So it was a kind of figurative painting, but it was totally invented. And that's a kind of painting that I haven't seen in a while. It wasn't referential to anything other than his own thoughts and his own world that he was creating.
So he was painting on quilting? You lost me.
He was actually sewing different fabrics together, so making things that I think if they were left bare would look like they were quilts.
Right.
But then actually painting on top of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously that references, you know, folk art in some different
ways. Were they stretched at all or just?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Really?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it has also a history. It refers to the history of, you know, feminist painting in the 70s. But it was very much his own, you know. It was just very unusual. Like every time you walked into a studio, it's like, what's going to happen today? Right. And that kind of invention, I think, is always exciting for me.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear about because, you know, it's just so much fun to see what these minds will come up with. You know, having a mind that is not...
Well, especially at that age.
Yeah.
You know, coming
these
up with something...
2018.
Literally, you feel like the figures, they're figurative, but they were original.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah. And this is a grad student, but he you know, he's 26, so still very...
Well, talk about your work a little bit.
Back to me.
Yes, back to you.
What can I say?
Where are you headed?
I'm in a little bit of a transition right now, which is exciting.
Which is
it always is. Yeah. And I tell my students that too. Like, don't think you've ever got it all figured out.
You make a nice mess, but for a while, but
Right now I'm working mostly with, different sort of patterns and different types of, referencing wood, different types of paneled wood. And that's what the sculptures are made out of, a kind of like faux wood painting. And then also the actual paintings on canvas are different patterns that look sort of like lacquered cabinets and things like that. So
So help me understand that. Why in the world would you want to make a painting that looks like a lacquered cabinet?
Well, you know, a lot of the surfaces that I paint are meant to reference other things. Mm-hmm. So this painting I'm working on right now looks a bit like a cabinet. But in thinking about how to articulate that painted surface, it's really about where that goes and how that can slip between different forms and different types of making. So for instance, like the one I'm working on right now looks like a cabinet, but there's another one that looks like a barn door and another one that looks like a piece of wood that has had some sort of trauma happen to it.
So these are on canvas?
Yes. The ones right now are on canvas. I've made some on paper as well, but these are on canvas.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about aesthetics and how things like can be like put in a different context and thought of in a different way. You know, I think about them also as relating to like different class positions and how we value different things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I understand now. I went to the website and I can kind of see them. So
that's. And I also do a lot of landscape painting. Like that's probably what I have done most of. And that's probably, you know, when I think about, you know, when
You don't have any Richmond representation.
I do not.
Interesting. And how long have you been in town?
7 years now.
Interesting.
Very well. Apparently, Texas is calling her.
Yes, it definitely is calling her.
Texas has been kind to me.
It's interesting. You know, we interview a lot of artists their boots on the ground in Richmond and their gallery maybe in Seattle or their, you know, wherever kind of they've got this connection and it's working for them. So, hey, but that's great. But So HillaryWilder.com for the listeners if you want to go look at the work and find out a little bit more about Hillary. This has been very interesting, and I'm excited for you to get a year to go and kind of decompress and put a new body of work together. I think, you know, Tim, I'm going to call up my CEO and see if I can't get a year off. Me and you.
Yeah, okay. We'll go down to Texas and drive Hillary crazy.
Hillary, do you have anything else that you'd like to say for the good of the group before we, I know you'll have a great time in Texas, and we look forward to maybe someday seeing your work here in Richmond so we can see it in the flesh.
Well, I actually should add, I was going to say before that even though I don't have representation in Richmond, I was very lucky to have Ashley Kistler from the Anderson Gallery ask me to make a painting for the Anderson last summer. So I have shown in Richmond through the wonderful Anderson Gallery. So
yes, Anderson. At VCU, which is now what is it called now down on Broad Street?
Are you talking about the trolley station and all that business?
No, the Depot building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what a cool show, the graduate show that they had in there right at graduation time.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that show. Uh-huh. It was really, mm-hmm. What a great space.
Absolutely. It's exciting.
And with the ICA coming, it's just going to be.
I know I'm going to come back. It'll be a whole new world. That's what I'm expecting. You know.
Yeah, you won't even recognize Broad Street.
No.
Sort of like what they just did to Gray Street.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. Well, I just drove down, had no idea where I was. That's why I was an hour late getting here. I was lost on Gray Street.
Lost on Gray Street, yeah.
Lost on Gray Street again. Sounds like a good old blues song. All right. Well, we are just about out of time. So I hope you have a wonderful year and that it's very productive. You don't feel any pressure, do you?
Not right now.
at the end of the year, there'll be pressure to make sure everything's
done. Oh, that's true.
The work
is
done.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll do fine. So, and I want to thank you folks for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring and Hugh Joyce. Hoping you have a great week. You are listening to WHAN 1430 AM and 102.9 FM.